Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the show with us today Mike Edinburn, a retired engineer with a master's degree in mechanical engineering who lives in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And he's going to give us an update on the situation at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. So, Mr. Edinburn, thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Well, Casey, it's great to talk with you, and thank you for having me on your show.
Sure, we're really glad to have you back, and some of our listeners might remember that last, I believe it was July or August of 2014, you came on the show and talked about an incident that happened at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science during Darwin Day of 2014. That was about a year ago, and you and some of your colleagues there in New Mexico found out that basically the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, which is a publicly operated science museum, was essentially partnering with these atheist groups to put on its 2014 Darwin Day celebrations, and then they tried to cover it up. So could you maybe sort of give us a rundown or a recap for our listeners who might have forgotten what happened last year with the Darwin Day celebration at the publicly operated New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science?
Sure, Casey. Well, it started off, a student friend of Jim Campbell's sent him a flyer that advertised the Darwin Day celebrations at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. And one of the events on February 12th, Darwin's birthday, was a talk by a couple of atheist groups and some others. And the titles looked like they would be denigrating religion. And we went and listened to them, and sure enough, they did. But anyway, this flyer said that the talks on February 12th were co-sponsored by the Museum of Natural History, the Humanist Society, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, as well as the New Mexicans for Science and Reason. And so Jim thought, you know, it's inappropriate for a public institution to be denigrating religion. And so he wrote a letter to the governor of New Mexico asking that they look into this, that it was inappropriate, and that if they considered that it was inappropriate, that the talks should be canceled. He got a letter back in a few days saying that there was a misunderstanding about the talks given on Wednesday night, that the Museum of Natural Science and History were not the sponsors of it. It was a meeting of the New Mexicans for Science and Reason and really didn't involve the museum. So we went to the meetings, we listened to what they had to say, and then the next day we said, well, let's check this out. Let's see if the museum really was involved or maybe wasn't involved. So the day after the February 12th talks, we wrote a letter filing a request for public records according to the New Mexico Inspection of Public Records Act and asked that all correspondence about the event be made available to us. And so they made that available to us, all of the emails and correspondence that went on. And we went through it all very thoroughly. And we found out that, sure enough, employees of the museum, the staff there, had participated in selecting the people who were going to speak at the Wednesday night program. They had given copies to the administrators at the museum. There was absolutely nothing to indicate that the museum was not involved, and everything indicated that the museum staff were an integral part of the talks given on Wednesday night. So with that information, we wrote another letter to our governor and asked that she investigate the Wednesday night talks. And also, besides asking that she investigate the talks, we suggested that there might be a cover-up because of the Secretary of Cultural Affairs letter to us that said the museum was not involved. So clearly, there was some kind of breakdown in communication between the museum staff and their secretary's office, and we thought that that might be a part of a cover-up to now claim that the museum had not been involved, even though it was.
So essentially, the documents that you and your colleagues got through a public records request clearly showed that during the 2014 Darwin Day celebration planning process, the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science partnered with these atheist groups, co-planned the event with these atheist groups, but then when you guys called them on it, first they denied it, and then they claimed it was all just a big misunderstanding. Is that essentially what happened?
That's exactly right. And also, they erased all of the information about the Wednesday evening from the museum's website, and a couple of the organizations changed their flyer that said that they were co-sponsors with the museum, and they no longer offered the flyer at the museum's information desk. However, they kept it posted with the museum as a co-sponsor in their multipurpose room where the talks were held.
Yes, I recall that. And I recall that you took photographs of the flyers where it showed both the museum and the atheist groups co-sponsoring the events. And you showed that they were there at the events. You showed that they were being given away by the museum before they removed them. And we actually, I believe on Evolution News and Views, showed screenshots of what the museum's website said before they scrubbed it of all the evidence showing that they were co-sponsoring the Darwin Day events with the atheist group. So, okay, that kind of brings us up to speed of what happened at the 2014 Darwin Day celebrations. So now here we are a year later, and since we last spoke in July, you've had some additional communications with the governor's office and with some of the staff at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, and you were basically trying to ask them to do the right thing as they planned for the 2015 Darwin Day celebration. So what exactly did you tell the staff at the museum, and what did you say to the governor's office? What were you asking them to do, and what was their response?
That's right. First, we met with the museum personnel, the administrators at the museum, and we requested two things. One is we requested a public apology for using New Mexico taxpayers' money for putting on the events. And we requested that at future Darwin Day events, we be allowed to participate and give a different point of view than was typically given that would support Darwinism, that would promote Darwinism. And so we really made those two requests. Later, we met with the Secretary of Cultural Affairs and made the same two requests. And of course, they didn't really want to make public apology. And we always took the position that we wanted the Darwin Day talks to continue, but that we wanted to have a chance to give maybe a little different point of view. But then, after the meeting with the Secretary of Cultural Affairs, I heard from the museum director that they had decided to cancel any participation in Darwin Day in the future.
So they basically said that rather than having participation from groups that might express a non-Darwinian view, they would rather have no Darwin Day events that they would host and co-sponsor whatsoever. That's basically what they told you.
Well, actually, what they told us is they decided not to participate in Darwin Day because the staff was very busy, and they just really didn't have time to get into that again this year. I would like to have heard their conversation because there may have been some resistance to having an open discussion of Darwinian evolution, you know, if they were going to continue with Darwin Day celebration.
Well, and I want to make something really clear here for our audience, Mr. Edinburn. You and your colleagues were not asking that the museum cancel its involvement in the 2015 Darwin Day events. In fact, quite the opposite. You were asking that the museum continue to host Darwin Day events, just to do it in a balanced manner that allows the public to hear from multiple different viewpoints. Is that basically what you were asking?
That is exactly right. We certainly never asked them to cancel it. We wanted them to continue.
And Mr. Edinburn, I actually understand that you recently sent a letter to the museum explaining your views that you did not want the museum to cancel its involvement in Darwin Day. Instead, what you wanted was the museum to have a balanced Darwin Day event. Could you maybe read to us from the letter that you sent to the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science just recently?
Okay, we sent the letter on January 15th of this year, and the letter was addressed to Gary Romero, who is the interim director of the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. It says, "Dear Dr. Romero, on October 16th, 2014, Charles Walter informed me by email that the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science would no longer participate in celebrating Darwin Day. We were very disappointed to hear this, as we have expressed in prior conversations with representatives of the museum and the Department of Cultural Affairs, we feel strongly that the public is best served if the museum continues Darwin Day celebrations, but uses them to educate the public about multiple scientific views in the debate over Darwinian evolution. We asked only for a balanced discussion, and we are concerned because it appears that the museum would rather sponsor no discussion than a balanced one. The museum's decision seems opposed to its mission to educate the public about science."
And Mr. Edinburn, I know that there's more letter coming here, but I want to just stop you right there. That is a really wonderful statement, I think, there, because you are standing up here for expanded access of the public to scientific information. You're not saying, hey, we want you to cancel Darwin Day. You're saying, hey, we want you to continue Darwin Day. And here it's actually, it's the Darwin proponents who want to cancel Darwin Day if they're going to be pressed to have a Darwin Day that exposes people to multiple views. But go ahead and continue with the letter.
Okay, the letter goes on to say, if this decision about Darwin Day changes at any time, or if the museum participates in any event that promotes Darwinian theory, please contact me and the Intelligent Design Network of New Mexico so that we can have an opportunity to participate and potentially offer a scientific viewpoint that disagrees with Darwinian theory. We believe it is necessary that a balanced view of controversial scientific topics be presented at any event in which a state institution participates and in which taxpayer dollars are expended. And then it goes on to say, considering the anti-religious presentations at the museum in which the museum participated on February 12, 2014, we believe that the museum must remain neutral with respect to religious views as well as inform the public about different scientific views on Darwinian theory. We would like to suggest that sponsoring a debate on Darwinian theory would further the museum's educational objectives and stimulate interest in science. We would be delighted to participate in such a debate. And then we said thank you and signed the letter.
Well, I mean, that's an eminently reasonable letter, Mr. Edinburn. And I'm wondering, are you expecting the museum to get back to you, or have you heard anything back? Where does that letter stand right now?
So the letter was sent on January 15th, and that's about a week ago. And I haven't heard anything back. And, you know, really, Casey, I don't expect that I'm going to get any kind of response to the letter, because I doubt that they will really want to encourage any kind of an open debate about Darwinian evolution at a museum-sponsored event. But I hope I'm wrong. It'd be great if they did.
No, absolutely. I unfortunately share your pessimism that they're going to give you a response. Now, have you made any attempts to book any events at the museum and use their facilities? I know that they rent out their facilities to private groups for private events. Has your organization ever been able to successfully rent out any of the facilities at the museum for an event?
Yes, Casey. As a matter of fact, we have. I decided that if the atheists can go and talk at the museum, so can we. And so what we did is we rented their multipurpose room on the second Friday of even-numbered months. That would be February, April, June, August, and October. And we started last October with a talk on intelligent design. And we have the room rented for the next 5 months in 2015. We're not doing it in December, on all the even-numbered months except December. But we will be giving talks on design and biology, problems with evolution, design and cosmology. So, yes, we're planning to have these meetings and continue them indefinitely.
So you're trying to expose the public to multiple views, and, of course, you're exercising your rights to have these private events. Do you think that the museum allows you guys to rent this space because they want to, or because they kind of have to under the law?
Well, Casey, they have to. They rent the room out to other organizations, and that being the case, they were obligated to rent it to us.
Well, I'm glad that you're exercising your rights as a citizen to rent out public facilities for private events. I really appreciate what you have done here in New Mexico, Mr. Edinburn, standing up for free speech and to really hold this publicly operated museum accountable to follow the law, to not sponsor anti-religious events alongside the promotion of evolutionary theory, which I think happens a lot more than folks would like to think. You guys kind of caught them red-handed. They denied it. They scrubbed the evidence. And unfortunately, they would rather now have no events and not even try to fulfill their mission to educate the public about science on this topic of evolution than they would want to do so in a balanced fashion. I really think this kind of shows what really this is all about. It's about trying to indoctrinate the public, and if they can't do that, then they don't want to have a discussion about science.
That's right, Casey. And, you know, even though we didn't get exactly what we requested, public apology and also being able to talk at future Darwin Day events, they certainly had to take a look at this issue. I imagine that the museum has made some policy decisions about sponsoring anti-religious talks in the future. We're now on record as wanting to participate if they do have any kind of a pro-Darwinian event in the future. And our Department of Cultural Affairs and the Governor's Office are now very aware of problems like that, and hopefully they will make sure that the kind of anti-religious talks that they had before will not happen again. We sure hope that they will have an open discussion of Darwinian evolution sometime in the future, but at least now they are sensitive to the problems associated with having atheists speak at a publicly sponsored event.
That's really encouraging to hear, Mr. Edinburn. And obviously, if these atheist anti-religious groups want to rent out the museum for their private events, they can do that. But let's make sure that the First Amendment is not violated by having the museum sponsor those events. You guys are helping them to realize what the law is and follow it, even if it's a bit reluctantly. But we appreciate what you guys are doing there in New Mexico, Mr. Edinburn, and we wish you the best in your future endeavors. And who knows, maybe someday the museum will decide that it wants to inform the public about this issue in an objective manner, and they'll invite you and maybe some evolutionists to come and have a discussion about this topic for an event.
We certainly hope that will happen. And Casey, I really want to thank you for airing this issue on your program. And I know that a lot of people have listened to it, and I hope it's encouraged them to keep an eye on what's going on in their state with museums and, you know, watch for similar activities.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Darwin lobby likes to pretend that the only people who ever violate the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment in this issue are the Darwin skeptics. But you'd be surprised how often we find evolutionists actually encouraging violations of the Establishment Clause and the First Amendment. And we could devote a whole other podcast to talking about that. But you guys are keeping folks accountable, and you're a model for how to do that, Mr. Edinburn. So appreciate that. And please keep in touch with us. Let us know if they invite you back.
Well, I will certainly do that, Casey, and thank you.
Okay, well, I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Make sure that your local publicly operated science museums are not promoting atheism alongside evolution. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.